There's a lot of you in here. Hello. Yes, well, we had a good time yesterday. And it was very fun. I had a great time. I hope you did too. And greetings from my country and from my church in the United States, California, Bethel. Yes, it's great to be here. I am here because of Adam in many ways. I mean, not like Adam and Eve, but I mean like Adam. And last time I looked, he was in Durban, and then heard that he moved to P. What? Yeah, Adam lives in P. And I thought that was it. What? And then I learned it was two letters. Oh, P-E is short, Port Elizabeth. Oh, that's what it was, because I thought he was in Port Elizabeth, but he's in P. So it is great to be here, and I'm so glad we got that sorted out. Yes. What I want to talk about today is it plays into some of what we talked about yesterday, but it's really more about the spirit of the matter than it is about the skills and practices that we went through thoroughly yesterday in a short period of time. And so if you remembered a fraction of what I said yesterday, congratulations. Hopefully you picked up some resources, because that's why we make them. We make resources because you're going to forget 95% of what we talked about yesterday and need a reminder later on. That's why we come to church every week, right? Because we keep forgetting, what is it we're supposed to be doing? Let's talk about it. This morning, what I want to talk to you about is a living with a courageous spirit. You need a courageous spirit because of the tremendous adventure that you have been called into as a believer. If you realize the life that God has given you, it will scare the PE out of you. It's no small invitation. It's no small opportunity. It's no small challenge. It is about changing the world. It's about literally being an ambassador of heaven on the earth. That's who we are. That's what we do. What we carry with us is what Jesus described would be, you will do even greater things than I have done. What are you talking about? Yeah, even greater things than I have done, you'll do. I don't know when was the last time you walked across the water. You know, but we still have some stepping in, don't we? We still have some stepping up. We still have some risk to take. And that's really what the Christian life is all about, is risk. It's about being willing to look foolish, being willing to be vulnerable, being willing to be wrong if necessary, to follow what it is you believe he said to do. But what we tend to do in Christianity is we make it all about surety. Don't you do anything until you're absolutely sure it's going to work, and it requires absolutely no faith. Like, really? Really, where in the world did that happen? Where did that come from? When did that become permissible? That we would be people who are afraid to live in the great adventure. That we are people who are afraid to fail. Nobody gets any better at anything not trying, not risking, not living past what I was able to do yesterday. When we talk about courage, we really have to understand that without it, you don't live the other virtues. You don't live in joy, in faith, in righteousness. You just don't do it. You don't live in hope, because it takes courage to put your hope in someone you don't control. It takes courage to grab onto peace in the midst of a storm, because our eyes want to tell us, protect yourself, run for cover, try to control it. And so learning to live in courage, learning to apply courage, is what actually engages all the other virtues in life. Courage is a foundation that we stand on and that we agree to walk towards. Courage is what actually accesses the very best part of who you are. Back home, we call it calling out the gold in one another. A prophetic culture is a people who live together, calling out greatness in one another, speaking to one another beyond what they see in themselves, prophesying to dry bones, calling forth an army out of what others would have just discarded. We are, it's true. It is literally a substance in our lives, this gold. I saw a commercial for a U.S. Olympic team I wanted to show you. Hello. I didn't see you. It takes courage to dig that gold out of your heart. It takes courage to dig the gold out of the heart of the people around you. It takes courage to be a believer. This is not the safest place in the world to be. This is not a place of certainty that we are going to be able to control what happens tomorrow. Do we have any parents in here? There's a brief window of time where you think you know how it's going to turn out. Do we have any parents of adult children in here? All right, I rest my case. We don't control with love. We don't control with faith. We don't control God, and we don't control the people around us. All we really do is we hope to have the courage to face our fears. We hope to have the courage to stand and stare fear in the eyeball and push it back. We hope to cultivate in ourselves a testimony that we know Jesus. When the disciples were perceived by the Pharisees, by the religious leaders of their day, they were seemed to be people who had great courage, joyful courage, a hilarity courage, a confidence of who Jesus is. And it's that which convinced the people around them that they knew him. It wasn't their training, it wasn't their skill, it wasn't their skinny jeans. It was their courage. It was they saw the boldness of these disciples, and the leaders, the religious leaders, could tell, you are unlike religious people because you are bold and you have courage to live from your heart who you've been called to be. Just like Jesus did. Jesus upset everybody he met. He certainly upset every religious person he ever met. And they continually said, you need to calm down. You need to calm yourself down. If you don't, we're going to hurt you. We're going to punish you. We're going to do what we do to everybody else. We're going to humiliate you. And Jesus wasn't a little bit scared of the modern day social media he lived in. He wasn't a little bit scared of what other people thought of him. He wasn't a little bit afraid to do what his Father was doing. And neither were his disciples. If we're going to believe as Christians in this day and age, we have to face our fears. We have to be bold enough to follow Jesus where he's taken us. We have to be bold enough to put on our lips his words for one another. I have to be bold enough to look at your life that seems to be a shamble and find that 0.2 milligrams of gold and call it to the surface and show it to you and say, let me show you what it is that my Father sees when he looks at you. Courage is the easiest thing in the world to get quotes on. They're everywhere. Eleanor Roosevelt, if you knew anything at all about her, she would not have gifted anything. She just had tremendous courage. And she spelled it out very clearly. She said, essentially, what you have to do is you have to be willing to do what you don't believe you could do. She was married to a man who ran the United States from a wheelchair. And he hid it the whole time he was president. A frail, fragile man who could not walk, was reelected 4 times, the only president we have, led us through World War II. It's all about courage. It's the situations that you face in life, it's the things that happen that you just are not ready for. I recall a time when I traveled around to foster families, people who were taking in children who had been removed from their parents because their parents were abusing them or neglecting them. And one of my jobs was to go around and strengthen these families, some of the families that were being considered of having their children removed. And I remember working with this one family. They had 6 children. The youngest was a toddler, about 16, 17 months, and the other one was 15 years old. I mean, they had that range of children in all stages in between. And they lived in this shambles. I mean, it was just absolute poverty, broken down cars and junk everywhere and broken windows and a hose coming in through the kitchen window and no indoor plumbing, none of the toilets flushed. It was they had an electrical cord that they were stealing electricity from down the street. Mom and dad are strung out on drugs and alcohol. These children are going into foster homes if we can't do something to turn this. And so I'm there a couple times a week. I show up, and once again, I show up. I pull up in my car. I have my little shirt and my tie. I have a little tie on, and I arrive at this house, and I'm ready to save the world. I'm Super Danny. And I am trotting up the steps of this house. It's a cement porch, and it's about this high off the ground. It's got steps going up, and I'm hopping up the steps, and there's a big walking stick in between my feet that as I'm walking up. As I get about to the middle of this big stick, it rattles. I look down, and there is a rattlesnake between my legs. that is as big around as my arm, I jump straight up into the sky, backwards, and I land on my feet in the middle of the yard. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, that's the biggest rattlesnake I've ever seen in my life. Oh, oh, oh. And so I yell to the house, "Don't come out, there's a rattlesnake in the front yard." Which to these people is like saying, "Come out as quick as you can." But no movement. There's no response, there's no nothing. And I'm looking, and this is the first time I've ever been to this house, and there's nobody there. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And that snake keeps going up the steps, and it goes right onto the porch. I'm like, okay, all right. Oh, okay, nobody's here. All right, so now I'm headed back to my car. As I'm headed back to my car, I begin to think, there are little kids here. What if this snake bites one of these little children? What if, oh no, oh no, 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 oh no, no. I have to kill this snake. I hate snakes. I am so scared of snakes. And why couldn't it be a mean dog or something? I would fight a mean dog, and not a snake. I hate snakes, oh my God. So I'm headed back to this porch, and there's this snake laying in the crease of the wall in the porch. And then a snaky head comes up, and there's the door handle's missing. It's just a circle. And this door, and the snake is, and he's going up to that hole, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if he, so I'm looking around like, what do I kill a snake with? I mean, I don't have a bazooka, so what am I gonna do? Shovel. You kill snakes with shovels. That's what I've heard. I've heard that. So I'm searching around for a shovel. There's, out of all the junk that's all over this place, there's got to be a shovel laying somewhere, right? So I'm searching. I go around the back of the house, and out in this pile, there's a shovel. And I walk out there, and I grab it, and it's been there. I think Cortez put it there. I'm like, what? The head's going like this. You know, the wood grain, you could feel the wood grain. I'm like, this is my weapon of death. This is it here. This is what we're doing. Oh my gosh. And so now I'm headed back around the house, and I feel like Rambo in the jungle. Like, I just know that thing is going to jump out at me. It's stalking me. And I get back around, and there he is, still laying there. Like, okay. All right. Okay. Now he has moved from the door handle over to the window. Now the window has no glass in it, so it's just got these curtains that are just kind of blown out towards me. And he's, and I'm like, okay, all righty. I'm gonna chop his head off on that wall. And a kitten jumps out. And there's a kitten in between me and the snake of the century. I'm going, oh my gosh, and I scoop up the kitten, boom! Yes. And the kitten is just flying through the air. I'm like, you'll thank me later. Oh my gosh, when did they get kittens? They didn't have kittens 2 days ago. They didn't have kittens, but it's going on. Oh my gosh, this snake smells like kittens. He's going to the buffet. Oh my gosh, okay. Okay, there's back up there. Okay, here comes another kitten. And the snake must know I'm there or something, probably from scooping on the cement. But he takes off the edge. He goes down over. He goes under this pile of junk. There's a chimney, a smokestack sticking out from the wall. The corner goes like this. It's full of junk. And the snake is under all the junk. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I could just leave them? No, the children, no. Okay, so I'm grabbing wood, boards, and bicycle frames, and mattresses, and adrenaline is dripping out of my nose. I think I'm going to have a heart attack any second. I keep pulling this stuff off. Finally, there's this big cinder block brick, and there's this back, see the back of this snake against the wall. Like, oh my gosh, okay. And up his head comes. Here's his head again. I'm like, okay, cement back, shovel, one, two, bam! I'm like, yeah, got him! Killed you! Mess with me! And pretty soon he sticks his head back up there. There's not a mark on him. I totally missed it. I'm like, oh, no way! No way I missed him! Okay. And I find that brick and he's just sitting there. It's been like 20 minutes. I'm like, I am going to have a heart attack. That's what's going to happen. So I finally said, okay, I'm coming in. So I just come over the top with the shovel. Ha, ha, here he comes. Ha. I got his head. Ha. And his snaky body is hitting my legs. I'm like, oh. And I notice that his head is gone. Your head is gone. You're dead. You're moving around, but you're dead. There. Kill the snake. Whoa. Okay, all right. Okay, well, I should have some evidence of this. I should take his little tail off. There, where's that? Where's those rattles? Well, somewhere in the frenzy, I cut the rattles off, and they're gone in the dirt somewhere. And I cannot get my hand to go down and look. I'm like, go look. No. Just do it. Look, put your hand on her. No. So I just left it there. I found a bucket. We have buckets of, they're white buckets you put paint in. We say 5 gallons. I don't know what you would say, but so I pick up the snake, I put him in this big white bucket. He fills up half of this bucket. I put it on the porch. I went back to my car. I got a pen and paper. You have snakes. Be careful. You put the note in there. And I got back in my car and I was driving away. And as I was driving away, I don't know why, but I feel like there's something under my seat right now. And I lifted my feet up onto my seat as I'm driving. And the rest of the day, I told this story over and over and over. And I was traumatized. But my life changed that day. My life changed that day because I actually faced a fear, a tremendous fear. Probably if there's anything I was the most afraid of on the planet, it was snakes. And so what I thought was just a strange coincidence actually turned into a situation where I now have a new foundation of where to live from. And this is what the Lord is inviting each and every one of us into, is we have these situations that the Lord is inviting us to step up to and to behave completely different, see yourself completely different. It's like when David faces Goliath, it's on the momentum of, I killed the lion, I killed the bear. Who do you think you are? He didn't face Goliath just for starters. He had momentum of following the Lord into another confrontation of this thing that normally would back me away from it. But no more. No more will I back away from even that which can kill me. I'm afraid of snakes that can't kill me. This one could have easily killed me. What are we so afraid of? Because there's fear that, you know, just to physically get hurt, we get afraid of that. And then there is the fear of taking a stand, the fear of being rejected, the fear of being judged. And so as we step into being courageous, not only about being physically hurt, which, I have friends who are snowboarders, and they go down these big hills, and they're going so fast, they go off this jump, they do this stuff, and then they crash, and they break their collarbone. They break their femur. And they're sitting around the lodge in a cast, some sort of apparatus, you know. And I'm talking to them about relationships, and this guy whose his collarbone has been snapped and his arm is broken, he's going to be like this for months, and he says, "I'm so afraid of women." So you're afraid of women? You do that? You're going to go do this again as soon as you can, and you're afraid of women? Seriously? Yeah. There's physical courage. And then there is a moral courage. There's a heart courage. There's a courage to face the pain of rejection, of judgment, of ridicule. And this is really the deepest level of courage that we're called to, is to face with moral courage the adventure that Jesus has called us into. Will I risk? Will I risk believing that he loves the way he says he loves? Will I risk believing that he forgives the way he says he forgives? Will I risk believing that he heals the way he says he will heal? Will I risk believing that he provides the way that he says he provides? Will I risk it in my heart? The word courage actually comes from the Latin word cor, which means to be able to live from your heart. The courage to live from your heart and to not be confused by things that would otherwise dictate how you will live your life. Will you guide your integrity from your heart? Can you do what you say you'll do? Or will some external condition shape you? Will you be just what's left over? Sorry, it's my beard. Will you obey? Will you step into where he's going? Will you train your ear to hear his voice? Will you be compassionate? Because it takes great courage to be compassionate. Proverbs tells us that a man who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city with its walls broken down. Yesterday we talked a lot about the spirit of power, love, and self-control. But in order to have integrity, you have to be the same person on the outside that you are on the inside. And oh, by the way, you are. You are. The same person on the outside will be revealed from the inside. You can put on a show for a while. But what is inside of you, what you call the courage that you apply on the inside, dealing with yourself, dealing with your own desires, dealing with your own appetites. You are not your appetites. You are not your desires. You are a child of God. And you've been given a spirit to rule over those as who you are. But it takes great courage. It takes great faith. Adam and Eve didn't have it. Adam and Eve didn't believe that God was greater than their desires. And the enemy appealed to that very thing and said, "You know what? I think God's trying to keep something from you. you could actually get something better for yourself if you just ruled over him. Part of the great adventure is you're not driving. And if you've ever seen those road races where there's this, they're just coming off the ground on dirt roads, coming sideways, and there's the navigator. I think that is the most courageous position in the world. There's a guy sitting over there with a piece of paper telling this guy how to keep him alive. Like, wow. That's us. Except the microphone doesn't work. We don't get to tell him how to keep us alive. We're just sitting over there looking at the paper. Oh, I hope he makes this turn. Oh, he did again. Wow. That's amazing. Wow, if as soon as I stop being scared, this is going to be fun. As soon as I learn to trust him, this is going to be the most exciting adventure available. And so in order to cultivate integrity from the inside out, I have to deal with me, my fear, my appetites, my desires, and tell me what to do. You will be following Jesus. Did you hear me? Go now. We'd love to think that Jesus is going to control us. He's not. Jesus is not going to control you. Please stop praying that prayer. He died so that you would be free, not so that you would be controlled. He set the captives free. Free. He didn't release you from the prison of the devil so you could be in the prison of Jesus. The gospel is not a prison exchange program. No. No, he came to set the captives free. That's you and I. And the integrity that we live in is, I have rule of my spirit, and you will follow Jesus. He's going to ask us to do some things that are going to cost us everything. Again and again and again and again, going to cost us everything. I moved my family 3 times. Stopped an 9-year career and education pursuit to go back to Weaverville, where I said I would never go. Don't ever do that. Don't ever say you're not going to go somewhere. I grew up in Weaverville. I was there for 20 years. I am never coming back here. Okay, except for this time. 100 years for a promise to come true. It comes true. He's living it out. Woohoo! Finally, there's hope to be father of nations. I have a child. And the Lord says, hey, let's take him up on the hill and kill him. Follow me. I don't understand. You don't have to. I just need you to obey me. I just need you to obey me. Follow me. Follow me. You don't have to be in charge. You don't have to be in control. You never will be in control. I just need you to have the courage to follow me. And compassion. Compassion is really, it's really scary because we feel so vulnerable. You know, the famous passage in Matthew 25 where, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Yeah. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. I was naked and you clothed me. When we have compassion for people, we're so vulnerable because we're not in charge of their outcome. You know, if you go to prison and you visit a prisoner, you don't get to take them home because you were nice to them. They don't get out of prison because you said a great prayer. You go and you invest your heart courageously. You go and you bring hope, strength, love, And really, you don't see a result. You didn't create something. You visited me in the hospital. You visited me when I was sick. I go there and I release the kingdom, and I've seen so many people be healed, but not everybody. I don't control it, which is the crazy thing. Like, how come it worked three times and then it didn't work this time for that little girl in the wheelchair? How come it didn't work there? I mean, we could have let those people die. I had to pick the girl in a wheelchair. Oh, feels so vulnerable to be in that spot.
I just won't ever do it that way. Nobody's disappointed. Or everybody is.
But I won't be vulnerable. I won't look like a fool. Those people won't be upset at me. I mean, at Jesus. I was poor. I went to the poor. And they're still poor. Even after I did everything I could, they're still poor. See, it takes great courage to be compassionate. It takes great courage to follow Jesus. And that's the call this morning to us, is to check our courage. And I want to ask you something. I want to ask you, if you were 10 times more courageous, how would your life change? What would you be doing different? If in an instant you were 10 times more courageous, what would you be doing? How would you be living? What would be the first thing that you know would be different? If money were no object and you knew there was no way that you could fail, and you were 10 times more courageous than you are right now, what would you be doing? So your heart just spoke to you. The war between your heart and fear was just, you were just given a glimpse. See, the great adventure that Jesus has for us, the great adventure that he has called us into, is directly tied to winning that war. We've been given a spirit of power for a reason. The Holy Spirit has comfort and counsel and power for a reason. Because we live in such a way that we need it. We need it. Or we live in such a way that we don't, and we wonder why there's not a great adventure. We've not been called to be safe or predictable. When the apostles came back to Jerusalem, they were identified as those men who have turned the world upside down. Here come those men who have turned the world upside down. And really all they did was follow Jesus. And they gained a reputation of being world changers. And that's our opportunity. That's our call. That is the expectation. So this morning, I just want to pray for you. Let's all stand together. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder and say, "Hey there, world changer." Father, I thank you that you have called us as your people. You have called us to be those who carry your presence, carry your power, and carry the shalom of heaven, that we have great authority over chaos. And we live in such a time where that authority is necessary and needed. So Lord, now I pray that you give us a supernatural impartation of courage, that we would never be the same, Lord, that we would walk out of here mindful of what would a fearless life look like. What would I do if I were 10 times more courageous than before I walked in here today? Lord, we want nothing more than to glorify you with our lives. And so today, we start by receiving a courageous spirit and glorifying you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to another Father's House podcast. For any more information, please visit our website at www.fathershousesa.org or connect with us on any one of our social media platforms.